I don't know. The connection is very, very poor. All right, we'll see as we go along. Let's see. Let's start over here. Mizmar Nun Aleph. We did the first couple of psukim. Let me read through the first few psukim. We're gonna go, and we'll do. I'll do some of them. Farshim. Okay, one more time. Page 458. Lamatzech Mizmar David Bevoy Elov Nasan David Kasher Ba El Bas Shava. The story. This was the Musar. This is the response. This Mizmar is a response of David after he was. How do you know it's his yard site? Messiah? Saw on the calendar? Okay.
They were killed
in the bar. They were killed today. The Shaul and Yonason. Okay, let's see. Salam Atzech, Mizmor David, Bevoy Elov, Nos Nanavik, Pasher Bo El Bas Shava. Thank you for the quote very much. After Nos Nanavik came to David and gave him Musar, why did you commit this terrible Avera of taking Bathsheba and Esh Hashish? And so David's response was, you're right, correct. Chotasi, Choneni, Elokim, Kichastecha. Show me favor. Choneni, Elokim, according to your kindness, Kiroi V'rachamecha, Michei Fishoi, according to the abundance of your mercy, erase my sin. We mentioned last week, there's no next pasuk, Herev Kabseni, Me Avoini, cleanse me from my sin a lot. I need to put me in the washing machine and put it on the highest setting possible. Umechatosi tahareni, purify me from my sin. We mentioned last week that there are different. David describes his aver with numerous words. He calls it a pesha. He calls it an ovoin, and he calls it a chait, pesha, and ovoin. In fact, I always tell you this, the Mishnah Berurah says that an Erev Yom Kippur, when you go to the mikvah, you're supposed to dunk in the mikvah three times. It's the Mishnah Berurah. Why three times? Chet, Pesha, Ovein. Chet, there are many reasons why a person goes to mikvah. Usually it's for the purposes of Tahara. But not many people know that there's an need of going to the mikvah for the purpose of Teshuvah. One of the parts of the process of doing Teshuvah, even if a person is completely tahor, he has no contamination, he did not come in contact with a dead body, he did not come in contact with the sheretz, he had no emission from his body, he has done absolutely nothing, he's 100% tahor. The meter, okay, the tumah meter, indicates that he's completely tahor, but now he is in the process of doing teshuvah. And part of the steps of doing teshuvah is to go to the mikvah. Okay, so it's a part of the process. And people don't know that it was mentioned to you that Balei Teshuvah, a person that was choizer b'shuvah, a person was not religious, and then is inspired, and is choizer b'shuvah, has an obligation to go to the mikvah. And sometimes, yeah, people, they know Balei Teshuvah, they don't know this. And so should you tell them, now that you're showing Matar Mitzvahs, so, today going to the mikveh is very common. Today, all of many shuls in the neighborhood, it became a thing. It became a thing going to the mikveh. You see, my computer now is going, I think it's my problem. My internet is going out. Dov, you hear me?
I hear you, but
the picture, okay, we'll see what happens. Maybe it'll be a temporary, we'll see what happens. But today people go to the mikveh. Years ago, the mikveh was not so popular. And there were many, many Balei Teshuvah. There was a certain tekufa in the 80s, in the early 90s. There was a tekufa of a Balei Teshuvah. And not everyone knew that part of the process of being Chozer B'Shuvah demands you go to the mikvah. So how we get into that over here? Over here is what we said, on the Erev Yom Kippur, there's an Inyan. I think it's more than an Inyan. I think there's actually a Chiyuv. Erev Yom Kippur, Erev Rosh Hashanah, you don't have to go to the mikvah. I mean, it's brought down, but it's not a chiyuv. The only day of the year that a man really should go to the mikvah, to what degree I do not know, but it's definitely in a category by itself, is only Erev Yom Kippur. That's the only day of the year. But a person that Erev Rosh Hashanah, people go. Some go every Friday. Some go every day. Some do this. Some do whatever it is. But Erev Yom Kippur, it's. The Mishnah Berurah describes the degree of obligation, and is when you're there, you should dunk three times. keneged chet pesha oven. And the going to the mikvah of Yom Kippur is a mikvah of teshuvah. It's not a mikvah of being metahir yourself from tumas meis or a bodily emission. It's not a tevila of tosefes kedusha. Many people go to mikvah erev Shabbos. Going to mikvah erev Shabbos primarily is a tevila to bring upon yourself an additional degree of kedusha, called tosefes kedusha. Erev Yom Kippur is not tosefes kedusha. It is not tahara from tumas meis or tumas haguf. It is a tevila of teshuva, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah says that's why erev Yom Kippur only you should dunk 3 times. Kineged chet pesha avin. A chet we usually understand to mean a sin that's done by accident, inadvertently. There's truly no such thing as an accident. According to Chazal, every accident is because the person really wasn't paying attention.
Negligence.
Then there is a pesha. A pesha is when a person knows that it is wrong, but doesn't care. I'm a bal taiva. I can't control myself. I don't know what you want from me. I need to go do this avera. Okay, so unfortunately, people do averos b'mezit, but they do it. They don't do it in spite of Hashem. And then there are people that do things lahachas. They're angry. They're angry, and they have very great nisyonos in life. No one's to judge anyone else, and they do averos lahachas. Lahachas. Hashem, you said not to do it. I'm going to do a lahachas. I have no handoff from this. I just want to do it in spite. That is called an ovain. So unfortunately, every person has in them a little of all three. There are chatoim, there's a pesha, and there is an ovain. And when the person does teshuvah, he has to go into the mikvah 3 times. Keneged, this is what the Mishnah of the Chofetz Chaim says. That's not a chassid shavar here. This is the Chofetz Chaim, and it's interesting that David HaMelech of here, when he comes to confess his sin, he immediately says, I've done 3 different things. I've committed he starts off with a pesha, and then he says an ovoin, and then he says a chet. Okay, the order is different. Okay, that's a whole big topic of discussion with the order of all these things. Okay, we'll leave it with that. An abundance. Cleanse me, kapseni. The word it's modifying the word kapseni. Cleanse me a lot. It's like a washing machine. There are many settings. Put it on the highest setting possible for the longest amount of time. Like these very high-tech washing, even the old-fashioned. There are a lot of settings. Okay, someone once tried to explain to me how to use a new washing machine. I'm telling you, I'm living in a new world. I used to know a washing machine like I, now this computerized washing machine, all these buttons and lights, and do this and this and this, and the computer has a mind of its own. So someone was trying to explain to me how to turn on the washing machine, all the different settings. David is saying, put me through a cycle, a very long cleansing process. Pasuk hey ki fisha'ai ani eido. David says something very powerful, which most people can't say this. I know what I have done wrong. I am aware v'chatosi negdi somid. I live with my sin continuously. Okay, we really did all this before. We did the Rashi, we did the Mitzvah Stavit. Let's take over here at the Likutei Shas. I always tell you, what they did us a very big favor in this edition of the Likutei Shas, because most of the Mefarshim on the page, they draw their commentary from what it says in the Likutei Shas. Okay, there are numerous Memori Chazal on every single pasuk. And here they did us a favor. They put the Likutei Shas on the page, on the Mamori Chazal. And once you know the Likutei, you know the actual original Mamori Chazal, then when you look in the Mefarshim, when they try to tell you a Vart, they're just basically taking an idea, taking a concept that's already presented in Chazal, either in the Bavli, the Yerushalmi, or in the Midrashim. And that's pretty much what the Likutei Shas is. The Bavli, Yerushalmi, and Midrashim. I think that's really all it is.
What is the Likutei
from the Which Likutei? Chatosi. Where are you reading from? Which pasuk? Which pasuk are you reading from? Which pasuk? Hey, it says, Ki, C. v'sha'ai ani eda v'chatosi. My
singular.
Yeah. My chait, negdi, my sin. This one, the pasuk tells us the sin. Yeah, the pasuk says, when nasan navi comes, pasuk base. This chait. Kol lo'oymer David chata eina ela toya. Yeah, it says here beferish. David says, I sin. Okay, we discussed that at great length last week. Okay, let's look at the Mamar Chazal of you on the bottom of the page. Let's look at what it's.
And he's saying that this chatosi had three pesha.
Right, that's what we just said.
Right. But this one sin had really.
Of course, this process. It was a whole process. Yeah. He saw her. He right. saw her.
Yeah.
First of all, what are you doing on the roof? David, what are you going to the roof? You're looking for trouble? What are you doing? You should be in the Beis Medrash. You should be in the Ma. You're going to the roof. You're looking around. It's Chazal about Leah. Vayteitzei Leah. She Dina. What are you going? You're going to the museum. You go. Right, let's go to the city today. I have nothing to do. Let's go to the shuk. Let's go to the city. Let's go. You're looking for trouble. What do you think is going to happen? You go there, you're gonna end up in trouble. Stay home or go somewhere to be more productive. David, you're going to the roof. You're looking across the street. There's a woman who's bathing. She's not tsanua. You see what she looks like when she's bathing. I mean, this is scandalous in today's day and age. And then the next part, he tells his servant, go across the street and tell that woman by order of the king to get over here. Okay, that's part two. And then he lives with her. And then she gets pregnant. And then he covers it up. He tells Uriah, come back home. Be with your wife. So that way, 9 months from now, everyone will say, of course, yeah, everyone remembers that Uriah came back. They made him a birthday party. Okay? And then Uriah says, no, I'm not going home. I want to go back to the field. Okay, you want to go back to the war? Uriah, kill the guy. Put him on the front lines. Today, if you would write this up in the newspaper today, such a story, woo-hoo. It depends on which team you're on. It depends. If it was on a conservative or a Republican, they would never let go. If it's a liberal who did this, come on, what's the big deal? You know, come on. Come on. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Hashoah Kol Nehi Bidvaray.
Amen.
I watched a clip yesterday, the interview with one of the biggest critics of Trump. He had his documents in Mar-a-Lago. They said, let me play for you a clip. And they played a clip of this senator saying about Trump, you know, you can't even imagine what he was saying, with such a passion. So then the reporter said, so tell me, you know, Biden did a lot worse. Biden is not even authorized to do this. And the documents there are mamish about Ukraine and his son. It's scandalous. It's different. It's different, right? It's just remarkable how the human mind, how delicate the human mind is. When you nogeya bidavar, you see things entirely different. My mother always told me a story about my great grandfather. He was a dayan. And in walks one of his balabatim. He comes in, so he says to him, and he comes and he sees him by davening. He came into town for a din Torah. He was a din Torah that day, and he was one of the litigants. And he sees my great grandfather, and he's on his lapel there was some dust. So he went like this. So then he said, "What are you doing here today? I have a din Torah. You're the dayan." So he says, I'm puzzled to be your dayan. I'm puzzled to be your dayan. You go like this, you're puzzled. Okay, compare that to taking billions and billions of dollars of bribery money. And, you know, everything is kosher v'yosha. It's amazing. I know myself. I was once bribed. I can't explain it to you. I mamish felt it. I was when the money was in front of me, the guy gave me $400. I'm telling you, it was such a lesson to me. It was such a lesson to me how my mind, I saw like black and white, how my mind it shifted. Oh, it's a different story now. Mamish, I it was such a lesson to me how I was so angry and I was very just like very upset. All of a sudden, it was mamish a bribe, $400. Okay, $400. I'm not gonna tell you if I took it or not. But I'm telling you, I'll never forget that. I remember how I said, wow, that's the koyach of the bride. Okay, and the truth is, Chazal said you don't need $400 for just brushing off your lapel. It's also enough. So I think it's a fair shug that grew with the lapel. Those also, it's a gemara.
The daf.
Right again. The sharecropper. Right. I just give you a day early. Gives you a day because I'm anyway coming over here. Nope, you I'm already puzzled. You become impartial. It's an incredible thing. David of Yarmelch says this is an incredible greatness of David. Es pisho I ani edo. I know what I did. It's an incredible godless of a person to be able to be makaris chatam. Now let's see the Mamori Chazal because a little bit is an introduction to this. Here let's see pasuk. It starts here with pasuk Gimel. Okay. It starts on the bottom of the page. Okay, the bottom of towards the bottom of the page. Okay, so let's just read some of these in the Mamor Chazal. Gimel Choneni Elokim Kichastecha Avapi Shenemra Tzvila Basar L'Shoynos Kiroiva Shabukulon Techina Shenemar V'yiyu Devorai Ela Hasher Hashananti Lifnei Hashem Kiroivim Ela Hashem Elokeinu Ushnei Tzadikim Nispalu Ba David U'Moshe. David Shenemar Choneni Elokim Kichastecha. So this is a very important chazal that we make an equivalence between David and Moshe. They're always interesting mamar chazal that make equivalence between different people. For example, Moshe and Ezra. Okay, Moshe and Ezra. Chazal say that if Moshe Rabbeinu would not have given the Torah, the next candidate would have been Ezra. Hashem would have recruited Ezra to go to Shemayim and bring down the Torah. I don't even remember. There are a lot of different Amori Chazal that compare different people. There are different elements. So here we have another Chazal that said the only two people that pray to Hashem with the word Choneni, Vo eschanan el Hashem, Bo esahi leimor Hashem Elokim. That expression, the word Vo eschanan, Chain is a. Again, these words are Avishnema Tfila Basara Lashoinis. There are 10 expressions of prayer. Kuroiva Shabikulan Tichina. What does it mean, Kuroiva? Kuroiva Shabikulan. The Kuroiva, what? Closer. What does that mean exactly? I don't know what it means. It's also interesting, yeah? So what, the other ones are more distant? It has to be something very, very deep. Is this one of the 10 Lashonis of Tefillah? Or is this the 11th? I didn't do my homework. 10 plus this one? Okay, whatever. Okay, I'm not sure, but it's interesting. Kuroiva Shabukulon Techina. I also find interesting is that the Piyutim, you know, there are many different types of Piyutim. One of the names of some of them being called Kuroivas. And why are they called Kuroivas? No. There are many different. That's another term. There are many different terms. The yoitzrois, kroivois, kroivates. What else? There are a whole collection of different terms. So yoitzrois are usually called the piyut that you add into the bracha of yoitzer ha'or. Yoitzer or uvorei choishach. Today. On soon's coming up, Parsha Shkolim, Parsha Zohar. So I remember which ones have which. Some of them have, some don't have. For Shachris and for Musaf, some only have for Musaf. I don't remember the whole Seder. But there are things we all are familiar with called Yoitzros. And the shuls that today that say Yoitzros, they say it after, usually they say it after Shmoneh Esrei. They say it after Shmoneh Esrei or before, they say after Shmoneh Esrei. And that's not the place to say it. Originally, when they were said, if they're called Yoitzrois, they were said in the middle of the bracha of Yoitzer or Uvorei Choshech. And then that became a controversy. How could you say it in the middle of the bracha? It's a hefsik. What are you putting it over there? And it's so long. It's a hefsik that you can say the entire bracha in the time when you say Yoitzer or. So it became controversial. Should we say there? Should we not say there? Most people don't know what they're saying. They don't know what they're saying altogether. And it can lead to hefsik. V'chulu, this whole long story. So today, those shuls that still are brave to say Yoitzeris, they don't say it in the middle of the bracha of Yoitzer. It's few and far in between to find a shul today that's going to say Yoitzeris in the middle of what?
In the middle of Chazaras HaShatz.
At the end, that's a Kroivetz. In the middle of Chazaras HaShatz. Okay, that's another one. So it depends what it's called.
Not where we go.
What are you referring to?
In each bracha, right?
That's Purim. So that's Purim. The only one that people still do. They still do right. Yeah. What? What?
In all of them.
On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, yeah. Right. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The ones that say it by Shachris, they say, okay, right, correct. Okay, so I'm already getting confused because I used to daven for a short tikkufa by Rabbi Miller, by Rav Shmuel Miller, Zechet Tzak Levracha, the son of Avigdor Miller. He had a yeshiva on Avenue J. So they said Yoitzrei. So he did not do it the way it says in the Siddur. He did it, and when I understand, like I asked someone in Lakewood, that so they do, they're also in Lakewood, they do it, they don't do it in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, they say it after they can conclude, HaMavarech Esamo Yisrael Ba'asholoim, could be they even say Kaddish, and then they say the Yoitzeres. So this is... to the Hasidim, so I'm right. Or they possibly even say it. Or they say it. They say we're in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, a part of the Nusach Chazaras. So why then is it called the Yoitzer? Then it should be called a Kurva. Then it's called a Kurva. A Kurva means it's close. It's called to the wood. I forgot why it's called a Kurva. I forgot. There's a reason. But I'm just thinking out loud with you. And to me, the fact that he writes over here the word Kiroiva. I'm trying to suggest the drush is the reason. I don't want to get bogged down here. We have all different types of additions to the prayers, whether it's kinois, whether it's piyutim, or it's kroivets, or it's a kurva called a kurva, or it's a yoitzer. And there's a reason why each one of these things has a specific title. I just find it interesting over here in this Chazal that from all of the expressions of, there are 10 different expressions used in Tanakh for prayer, and one of them is called Chen, Chonenu, Techina, and here he says, why this Techina is the best of them all, it's the Kiroiva Shebekula. And this word Kiroiva, if I'm not mistaken, is also a term that is used to describe a certain group of piyutim called a kiroiva. It's definitely a term called, a title called kiroiva that describes a certain type of addition to the prayer, which today we're not familiar with. This is not what we do today. And even the things that we do it into Nusach HaTfilah today, everything is all a big mishmash, and it's all been rearranged and put in different parts of davening, and it's all to us all the same. What's the difference between a kina and a zemer? On Shabbos we sing zemiros. What's the difference? You know, if you look very little in the Haggadah, shofei chamascha. So shofei chamascha in the old fashioned rabbinic literature, as Rabbi Kefir would say, is called a kina. On Tisha B'av, on Pesach, while you're saying the Haggadah, after you be finished your Su'udah, okay, Rabbi Yisai, wonderful, v'gata levincha bayom hu leimar, we've done that, we're going to do halel, we're going to bench, but you know something? Before we proceed with the benching, now before we proceed with, I'm sorry, with halel, let's now make believe it's Tisha B'Av and let's recite Kinos. Shefoi chamoscha el hagoyim asher lo yuduch. Okay, we recite, it's called a kina in the middle of the Haggadah. Okay, we don't use that term, but that's what it says in the big books. We don't use it. Why? Because today all these terms mean nothing to us. But these terms have very great meaning. How you define how you define these things. Here, I just find it very interesting. Think out loud with you that we're dealing over here with different expressions of prayer. And one expression is the word techina. And there are only two people in Tanakh, from the Ishei HaTanakh, that use the term techina, namely Moshe Rabbeinu and David. And he writes here, it says in the Chazal, that this expression is the Kroiva Shebekula. The Kroiva. What does Kroiva mean? I don't know, it sounds very poetic, very romantic. Kroiva, it's very close. What?
Close.
Right, so, and the word tefillah is not close, and the word tzo'oka, there are 10 words. So what does it mean, kroiva? It's a very nice word. It sounds very special, but it means something. It means something. Whatever it means here, perhaps, that's what it means when we describe a select group of piyutim inserted in a unique part of the davening. Okay, let's go further. David, but one thing we do take out of this is that David and Moshe have something in common. They have something in common, namely in their relationship with Hashem. They share something unique. They're the only ones that were able to speak to Hashem with such endearing terms. Okay, next pasuk in the Mamar Chazal, Herev kavseni me'avoni mechadasi tareini, Rabbi Akiva Imer Arbo. Now this, I don't know what this means, so I'm going to skip this. Let's do pasuk next pasuk. Pasuk, hey, kifa sha'ay ani eidev chadasi negdi tamer ton rabban aveiro she'svada alem yom kippurim. Okay, this is what it says, negdi some. This is a very, very big topic in the Olam Machshava. In the topic of doing teshuva, after Yom Kippur is over, the first thing we say is V'hu Rachum Yichaper Avayin. Everyone is waiting to hear those words. Okay, that means supper is about to be served. How do you translate V'hu Rachum Yichaper Avayin? Supper is served. Art scroll translation. No, am I making things up over here? Right? V'hu rachum. Why would you say v'hu rachum yichaper avon after an entire day of being doma to a malach elokim and wearing the kittel and fasting? You're in the highest level possible. You've already done teshuva. You have to do teshuva more? The answer is yes. The answer is just because you think you have been cleansed from your sins, you need to continuously do teshuva for the rest of your life. How do you know it? From the pasuk we learned today. V'chatosi negdi somid. Just because you've done teshuva, you've gone through the entire process, you never escape. The chait is there forever. Forever. Chazal, Tanabon, Averosh Yisvado, Alehen Yom HaKippurim Zeh, Lo Yisvado, Alehen Yom HaKippurim Acher. That's only the Tanakamba. V'im Shana Vohem, Tzach L'Yisvado, Yom HaKippurim Acher. V'im Lo Yishana Vohem, V'chazav Yisvado Alehem, Olav HaKazav Omer, Tanakama says, the Rabbanan says, if a person did an Aveira and he did Teshuvah and he did not repeat the Aveira, don't mention it. It's over, done with, been there, done that, don't mention it. And if you mention it, it's like a dog that goes back to eat its vomit. It's disgusting. This is the Shita of the Tanakama. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Kol Shekain, Shehu Mishubach Shenemar, this very pasuk, ki fishoayani yo'edo v'chatasi negdi summit, just the opposite. Just the opposite. A person should continuously review his averos and be misvada on them for the rest of his life. It's very unusual to have in Chazal a machloikis that goes mikotze el kotze. Usually when there's a machloikis in the Gemara between different Tanaim and Merayim, the disagreement is small different points. Here, the disagreement could not be further apart. Tanakama says, if you did an Avera and you did Teshuva, it's done with, don't dwell upon it, don't think about it, you're finished. According to the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, Adarabba, you never ever let go. We talk to people who are Rachmana Litzlan, went through an addiction, whether it's an addiction to alcohol, an addiction to gambling, an addiction to other terrible things, and they go through an entire process of therapy, and now they got their degree, they got their certificate that you've been cured. You've been cured. Let's talk about a person who was an alcoholic, Rachman al-Hassan Chas Shalom, and he went to a special center, and they work with him for a very long time, and basically he's cured. Should he go to a kiddush club?
No.
Should he go to a kiddush club? I've been cured. If I've been cured, I'm cured. I'm under control.
Isn't that true as well?
What?
Isn't true when you got to put back in the same position you were in?
You're tested. So should you test yourself? So over here, this lechor is this touches upon this machloikis Tanakam and Rabbi Eliezer. According to the Tanakamba, if you've done an Avera, and you've done Teshuvah, you've gone through therapy, and you're cured, you're done. You're a regular guy. You're a regular person. Live your life like everyone else. Don't take a drink. Why not? If you've really gone through the process of healing, you've gone through the process, then don't mention it. It's over with. You're finished. Rabbi Eliezer says, no way. The damage is forever. You've gone through this experience. So Baruch Hashem, you're cured. You don't have any problems. But do not forget what happened. Don't put yourself in on the soyoin. According to Rabbi Eliezer, every single year, do teshuvah for that avera that you've already done teshuvah for. You can never really know. I mean, okay, you have to analyze exactly what this means, but you see over here this concept, this machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer, what's the difference between doing a chet? There's a yetzahara, this taiva. Okay, in case of an addiction, you'll maybe tell me it's different because an addiction is this mamish achoyli. I don't know, maybe you're right. I don't know yet. Where do you draw the line? Where's the balance? Where do you draw the line? I do not know, but it's very interesting, at least to me, my little mind, between the machloikis, between the chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. A person has done something wrong. They've gone through a complex process of teshuvah. Okay, it's now time to move on. Move on. There are other things in life. Everything that you do in life takes away from your time, resources, your effort, your energy, your emotion. Move on. I have to go dwell upon an aver that I did 30 years ago. Never forget about it. According to the Chachamim, no, don't you dare. Don't waste it. Like a dog that eats its vomit. According to the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, Adarabba. And Rabbi Eliezer cites this pasuk. The pasuk over here says, "David ki fisho ayani eda v'chatosi negdi samid." Never ever forget. Okay, let's go to the next chazal. Now on the next, okay, let's move ahead, and maybe if we have time, we'll come back, and we'll see some other things. Okay, let's go. Let's move ahead. Pasuk vav on page 460. David says to Hashem, to you alone I have sinned. Now that's a fascinating statement. What do you mean to you alone? What about to Bas Sheva? What about to Uriah? What about to Klal Yisrael? The Klal Yisrael. You have a king, you have a melech, and when a king misbehaves, he's an embarrassment to the country. You have a head of state that represents the people, and they discover that he commits terrible averos. It's a busha to the people who he represents. It's a busha to his family. Why is David saying l'cha levatcha chotasi? To you alone have I sinned. Really? You've sinned to your father. You're an embarrassment to Yishai. You're an embarrassment to Klal Yisrael. You're an embarrassment to your whole family. You have caused great harm to Bas Sheva by forcing her to live with you. You've caused great harm to Uriah. He's dead because of you. So what do you mean, L'chol levatcha chatasi? V'hara, we'll see, v'hara be'inecha asisi, and what is evil in your eyes I have done, l'man titzdak bidvarecha. Then he goes on to say something which is a shocking, shocking medrash, which is really, really hard to swallow what it says here. I did this avera for your honor. An avera lishma, l'man, so you should be righteous bidov recha, tiske bishof techa, that you should be come out correct in your judgment. Okay, we're going to see this in one more pasuk. Hein be'avoin cholalti, he shifts gears and he says to Hashem, what do you want from me? The reason why I have sinned is because every person can say this, the way Hashem made the world is that a person only is created because of taiva. And this concept of taiva has to have in it at least some degree of shaloi l'shma, taiva. That's just the way Hashem made the world. So if a person is conceived through an act that is not 100%, so a person's existence is rooted in chait. So of course the person is going to sin. Okay, if every single human being came into this world through an act that the shaylate over this, well, the Torah says it's obvious. It's the first miss in the Torah. Puruvu. This is what it says here. We have to read the words inside Mefarshim for precision. Even the greatest tzaddik, who is a poyresh, and does things in a way that's kul l'shem shemayim. Chazal v'yoyred l'sevdaita shel adam. There is a degree of personal pleasure that is not l'shem shemayim. What? That's the way it is. Even the greatest of the great of the great. So that means every single person was conceived through an avera. It's not an avera. No one's being punished for this, obviously. But you're dealing over here with you know, dvarim ha'imdim beruma shaloylam in the daka shabedaka. So every single person is a product of chait. If you come from a chait, it is natural that if a person is a product of chait, it is natural that that person has a predisposition to do averus. Okay, there's a lack of sanctity.
Okay. It's almost like getting very close to the Christian idea of original sin.
What do you mean by that? I'm not familiar with this.
Well, you're saying that a person, if you start saying that a person is conceived in a way that makes him almost necessary for him to sin, that's like
you're forced. It's like you don't have a choice. It's predestined. You're saying very good. You're asking really, really tough questions. What you're saying is on the ball. I don't have a good answer. Chazal tell us it's not so. This is a basic principle of Judaism, is that every person is responsible for his actions as Bechir Chavshus. You're not predestined to sin. You may have a predisposition. It may be very difficult to overcome the Yetzer Hara because you're born with a predisposition. Every person is on their level, look, your person is a mass murderer. That's the way he is. And at one time, he held back and he killed one less person. And then you have a person that's a tzaddik, a kodesh mirechem, and one day he got a little bit lazy, and instead of learning 100 daf, he only learned 99 daf. And it could very well be, theoretically, the person that killed one less person is going to be a bigger ben olam haba than the tzaddik who failed to learn 100 daf and only learned 99 daf. I'm saying nonsense, right? Crazy. Not necessarily. Rav Desselt writes about this. Every person, only Hashem knows, every person is born with a predisposition to behave a certain way. And Hashem does not punish anyone unfairly. And if this person is out of control and it's not his fault, But every person is still given some degree of free will. Some degree. And if a mass murderer, if his free will is, instead of killing 1,000 people, only don't this one person, you know, don't have rachmanis, that can bring him to Olam Haba. And a person who doesn't have these problems, who can't even kill, can't even touch a fly, he can't hurt a fly, and his nisyonis are, should he give a little bit more tzedakah, a little bit less tzedakah, and on his madrega he fails in what his nisyon is, he lost. He's going to go to, I don't know, he's going to be held accountable on his level. You're right, so I don't know. So David over here is saying to a degree, a concept, is that a person is overwhelmed with these nisyonis. This is a very important part. This is what I heard from Rav. I heard on a tape from Rav Chodim. One of the only things I heard from Rav Chodim on a tape. I never saw Rav in my whole life, but I was once listening to some of in the car to his Marim on Purim. And the only thing I remember, it really was really beautiful how he explained it. It was very powerful. Is that it's coming up very soon, not so far ahead. Is Purim is coming along, and on Parsha Zohar, Shabbos Parsha Zohar, we read the Haftorah of Shaul killing of Shmuel. Shmuel executing Agag. Agag, the king of Amalek. The king of Amalek. Shaul was supposed to kill him. Shaul, who Meir claims today is his yahrzeit. Zuchus yogin aleinu. Mishichmai ulamala. From his shoulders and up, there was no one in Klal Yisrael like him. A kodesh kodashim. And Yehoyna's son, David's best friend, and according to Meir Appeldorf, today is their yahrzeit, Zuchusam Yogin Aleinu, and he failed to execute Agag, and he lost the Malchus because of this chait. The next day, or whenever it was, when Shmuel arrived on the scene, they took him out to kill him, Agag. It says in the Pasuk, he was presented Ba'adonois, which is translated in chains. So you picture the scene, they're bringing out a criminal. You've all seen these pictures. A criminal has chains on his jumpsuit. He's in an orange suit. He has chains on his arms and chains on his feet so he can't run away. They brought him out, Ba'adonois. And then Shmuel said a pasuk, and they killed him. What does it mean that they took him out Bo'adonis? Why is the Pasuk telling us they brought him forth to his execution in chains? What is this? Okay, you want to go make a motion picture? And you want to go describe what he looked like? The color? Tell me what color was this, the jumpsuit? Or, you know, tell me, they say to him, what's your last wish? What would you like as your last wish? The Torah is not in the business of telling you stories. Why does it say Bo'adonis? So Rav Chutner explains that the word Adonais was his defense trial. Before they executed him, okay, before they executed him, he went to trial. There was a trial. Maybe he's not guilty. Maybe there's a limut schus. Maybe Agag Shaul didn't just kill him. So there was a trial. They didn't just kill him. It was a trial. Maybe you have a good reason. Maybe you have a good excuse. So yeah, the defense lawyer said, the excuse is Adonis. He's I'm a muchrach. This is the way Hashem made me. The way Hashem created me, I was born with a disposition to murder. It's in my DNA. I don't have free will. I'm an animal. I'm just an animal. This is how I am. I'm chained. I am forced. I am compelled to behave this way. So Madon means chains, but it means it's a concept. I'm a muchrach to commit to do murder. So that was his defense. And Shmuel said, it's a big lie. It's not true. It's not true. You have a disposition, ain hachinami, to commit murder, but there is a degree that every single human being has. Bli yoytzei min haklal, of free will. And maybe, you know, maybe you can get away. You can. It's a good argument. Why did you murder 1,000 people? But to commit genocide? To wipe out 6 million people? No. No. There's a degree of free will that every single person has. B'li yoytze min haklal. And Shmuel taught the world. This is the lesson. The lesson of Purim is there is no such thing as a defense of ma'adonis, of being chained to a mitzius. I have no choice. This is just, I'm compelled to. You have free will, and you are accountable to a degree. Whatever Hashem is the judge, Hashem judges. That was the mimer that I have listened from Rav Chunah Zech Tzadik Livracha on explaining. So Eliyahu is asking a very tough question, very powerful question, that this pasuk seems to indicate the opposite. This pasuk says, "Hein be'ovoin choylolti." Choylolti means I was conceived. I, David says, what do you want from me, Hashem? I was conceived in sin. Now, by the way, this is a shocking thing to say, because Yishai was one of the four people who died without sin. The only reason why he died was because of the Nochash HaKadmoni, because there's a gezeirah in this world, everyone has to die. He did not commit a sin, which means that when Yishai was with his mother, the mother of David, the act of what's it called, procreation, was 100% L'Shem Shemayim. How do you know it was 100% L'Shem Shemayim? Because it says that Yishai is one of the four people who died without committing a sin. So that's a contradiction to what it says over in this pasuk. I mean, I don't have an answer. On the one hand, Chazal say Yishai died without a chait. And here David says, no. My father was no tzaddikal. When my father engaged in the act of procreation, there was a shtickle Yetzirah there as well. What degree Yetzirah? Maybe a billionth of a billionth of a billionth of what a regular person would have. Okay, the Yetzirah of his father was, I'm not making this up, as I always tell you. It says it right over here. How do you reconcile what it says in Chazal that Yishai died the Ityoy Shel Nachash with what David said about his own father, Hein Be'ovoin Choylolti? I don't know the answer. Uvichet and with Chet Yechemasni Imi. What is the translation of the word Yechemasni, chamima heat. It's, I'm not even, let's read the Mitzvah stuff. Let's go to all these Mitzvah stuff. Let's clarify. Pasuk Vav. And then we'll see, I think right back, the Mefarshim explained, they dwell upon this, Rashi, they dwell upon this a lot. It's very interesting, it's very powerful stuff here. Mitzvah stuff, page 460. L'chol avatcha, uviyotcha, uviyotchem kein limchol, ma'ashein kein imchoy ha'chait le'odam. Okay, this, like I told you before, it's a shocking thing, that David here is saying to Hashem, I don't need to get forgiveness from anyone else but you, because no one was affected by my Avera, which is shocking to say. Fine. Therefore, since I've only sinned to you, you have the power to forgive me. There's no one holding up my forgiveness. Ordinarily, if you commit a crime, so in Shemayim, Hashem will not forgive until you first get mechila from the victim. A person steals, you have to return the money and ask forgiveness. Only then can you ask Hashem for forgiveness. Here, I did not steal from anyone, I did nothing wrong to any other human being, and therefore nothing is holding up the forgiveness that I'm asking from you, Hashem. B'yeinecha, kafal hadavar b'miloy shaynos. Okay, there's a lot of poetic repetition. Leman, mitchilo nases leman tiet tzedek bid vorcha. Shamarto shaloy emoid b'nisoyin kazeh k'moyish amrazal. Okay, so therefore he's telling you the Chazal. Maybe we'll read it inside later, but basically what happened was, everyone knows the story. David, Davin, Shemoyne Esrei, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And David said, this is not fair. They should fix all the siddurim. There's a mistake in all of the siddurim. It should say, Elokei David. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Elokei David. How come Ribbono Shel Olam? How come you don't put me in the Shemoneh Esrei? What's going on over here? So Hashem said to David, the Avos were tested. You were not tested. So David says to Hashem, test me. Hashem says to David, you don't want me to do that. Because if I test you, you're going to fail. No, I'm not. Try me. Try it. If David now would have succeeded in the Nisayon, then David would have shown up Hashem. And then Hashem would have to say to David, David, you were right. You passed the test, and I made a mistake. I should have demanded that the Jewish people recite Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov, Elokei David. So David would have embarrassed Hashem. David is challenging Hashem. Hashem, it's not fair. It's not fair. And if David will now succeed in the Nisayon, Hashem will have to admit, David, you're right. It's not fair. I made a mistake. So David says to Hashem, I don't want to make you look bad. I don't want to make you look bad. So therefore, I went. I could have passed the test, but I deliberately failed the test in order that you should not look bad. If this is not shocking to you, then I don't know what is. This Maamar Chazal is on the top 10 of like, whoa, we don't know what in the world here is going on. This Mishnah Shabbos, I heard a very nice...
It was Machal Shabbos in the Dibra, right?
What?
The
father
of Slavko, right? He was...
Cain, no, but there Moshe said, I do not know. There wasn't, they said, there wasn't a challenge, it was a challenge. There was just a new halacha. Okay, that's different. That, you have to go to the sugi. Cain benois tzloifcha doivers. Moshe didn't know the answer. And in Echanami, they were the ones that demanded, so they got. Okay, that's different. Over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told David, they were tested, and you're not tested because you cannot pass the test. David said, I can pass the test. Okay, I'll test you. David says, I could have passed the test. When I had this Nisayon, I could have easily said, I'm going to stay away from her. But then I realized, if I'm going to stay away from her, I'm going to win. If I'm going to win, you're going to look bad, Hashem. I don't want you to look bad. So therefore, that's why I went ahead and I did an Avera L'shem Shemayim, in order not to embarrass you. Shocking thing. I heard on Mitzvah Shabbos, I forgot all the details. It was Noger of a Pinchas Hirschsprung. Hirschsprung. Okay, he was a Rav, a genius. He knew Shas on his fingertips. He was in Montreal. Montreal, he was a very chashuv person. You have to read the biography. I thank Mayor Appeldorf. He gave me the biography. Only because you told me about it. It was very, very good. Whatever it is, fascinating. Really got a lot of appreciation. And he had shots to my great-grandfather. Stories there, very interesting stories. Any event, I went to a shir mitzvah Shabbos, a very interesting shir by a insurance person, Shmuel David Friedman. Does anyone know who he is? He's a big guy. He's a very wealthy person, I assume, right? He's a very big gevir, and he's insurance, and he's a very big Talmud Chacham. Very big Talmud Chacham. He gives shiurim. He's a very colorful person, to say the least. No, in English. He's a fluent English. He gave a shiur, a very interesting shiur. So he spoke. He was very, very close to Chaim Kanievsky. He went. He claims that for 30 years, I think, every 2 months he went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. That's a lot of money to go to Herod Shul back and forth every 2 months. Okay, we had a lot of stories. So one thing he said was that he was once speaking to Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung, and he told him of Gemara, and he told him what Daf it is. He says, it's the Gemara, Feirush Gemara, and Daf Peites. So Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung said, no, it's the Peches. It's not Peites. It's Pei. Ches, not pay test. No, so he said Chaim Shmuel David. He said no, it's pay test. So he said so Shmuel David Friedman says, let's open up the door. Let's see. So Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung says, you see my beard, you see it's white. I'm an old man. Don't embarrass an old man. Don't open up the Gemara now and show me that I'm wrong. When you go home later, you'll look it up. So he goes home later, and sure enough, Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung was correct, and Rav Shmuel David Friedman was wrong. It was like Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung. So he said, I then realized, when he said, look at my beard, it's white, don't embarrass me, he was saying, I don't want you to open up the Gemara and look, because you're going to be embarrassed. You hear the story? I didn't say well. Pinchas Hirschsprung was talking to Friedman. Rabbi Friedman was talking to Rav Hirschsprung. And in the discussion, they were discussing a Gemara. And Rav Friedman says, the Gemara is on Daf Pei Tes. And Rav Hirschsprung says, no, it's on Daf Pei Ches. Pei Ches. So Rav Friedman says, let's open up the Gemara. You're going to see that I'm right, that it's on Pei Tes, not on Pei Ches. So Rav Hirschsprung says, don't open up the Gemara now. Because if you're going to see that you're right and I'm wrong, you're going to embarrass me. I don't want you to embarrass me. I'm a Zokain. Don't embarrass the Zokain. When you go home, you'll open it up and you'll see what it is. So later in the day, he went home, he opened it up, and he saw that Rav Hirschsprung was correct. It was Peches. He then realized that when he says, you see my white beard, you're going to embarrass me, that was just make-believe. You're going to be embarrassed. You're going to be embarrassed. I don't want to embarrass you, because I know for sure that I'm right. Over here, David is saying to Hashem, Hashem, I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to embarrass you. So therefore, I went and I did an Avera in order that you should not be embarrassed. I mean, I don't even attempt to try to scratch the surface and understand what this Maamar Chazal means. But this is what the Mitzvah David quotes. Pasuk, we're going to see more about this in a few moments. Pasuk Zayin, Hein Bevon Cholalti, Ki Amru Chazal. Now, I told you this story many, many times. People don't even believe the story. And here the Mitzvah David himself actually cites it from the Yalkut. The Yalkut HaMakiri. Rav Michal, do you ever hear of this thing called the Yalkut HaMakiri? Never heard of this. Okay, this is like a real esoteric medrash. And it's shocking that he actually quotes it. The Mitzudos David usually quotes only very mainstream things. He's not in the business of quoting these esoteric things, but he quotes it over here. She David Hoya Ben Tumura. Ki Aviv Choshav Shabo Al Shevchosai Ubo Al Ishtai. So remember the question I asked you? I asked you the question. The question is, how could it be David says he did an Avera. My father did an Avera. So I said, what do you mean he did an Avera? He didn't do an Avera. He died Be'it Yashol Shal Nochash. So that's because when I asked that question, that's working with the assumption that the act of procreation, which it says here Beferish, one of the Mepharshim, I forgot which one of the Mepharshim will be here, I don't have one that I marked up, it says that in graphic detail that the act of a Maisa Bia, by definition, is an act of Taiva, and even the greatest of the great have within them a small Mashu of Taiva, and you can't avoid it. But Chazal say that Yishai died, there was no Taiva. So how can David say this? So the Mitzudas David answers the question. And he says, that's right, there was no Taiva. There was no Taiva whatsoever. It was 100% L'shem Shemayim. So what then was the Chait? So he discusses a Chait in the Gemara where he did not know who his wife was. And that's not really called a Chait. That's a whole different league. There's no Yetzirah. Everyone knows the Maisa. The Maisa was that Yishai, this was before the time when it was decided, Amoini v'loy Amoinis, my avi v'loy my avis. It was before the time that it was decided that only the males may not lo yavoy Amoini u'mayavi b'kahal Hashem. It was before it was decided that it only applies to males and not females. This was still a very big debate. It was not yet a halacha psuka. It was not accepted in Klal Yisrael that it does not apply. And therefore, Yishai, who was a descendant of Moab, Yishai, who was a descendant of Rus, he was a descendant of Rus. He suspected that since Rus Moavia, maybe he's not Jewish. Maybe his lineage is not kosher. Maybe it means even a Moavis as well. And therefore, Yishai is not part of Klal Yisrael. And it bothered him to no end. He had such a love, such a chiba for Klal Yisrael, for Hashem and the Torah, he cannot live with the reality that he is not a member of Klal Yisrael, and he's not going to leave over progeny that's part of Klal Yisrael. So what did he do? He did a legal loophole. And this is the Chazal speak about this. He went and he decided he's going to live with a shifcha. So he's a Moavi, and he's going to take for himself a shifcha, a non-Jewish woman, a woman who's not Jewish, who's a shifcha kenanis. He's going to live with her. She will father for him a child. The child will follow the yichus of the mother. She will be considered a kenanis, a non-Jew, and then he will convert this child, he will free the child, and when you free an Eved Kenani, the Eved Kenani becomes basically a ger, and a ger is a full-fledged member of the Jewish people. He doesn't have the biological yichus, but a ger is chayiv in taryag mitzvahs, and a ger becomes a full-fledged member of Klal Yisrael. And a ger can then marry a Yisrael, and they can have children, and eventually those children can even marry kohanim eventually. So he went and he wanted to leave over in this world biological offspring, which in and of itself is a very fascinating chiddush, because you could argue is that really the goal, to leave over in this world biological children, or to be mashpia, to be the degree that he went is a tremendous chiddush what he did. Yeah.
He's not Jewish, so if he freed the slave, wouldn't be Jewish. He's not Jewish.
But the law is that if the mother goes after the mother. By non-Jews, you're asking very good questions. I don't know all the details, but from the way Chazal said this up, it seems that if a Moavi, a man from the nation of Moav, is married, lives with a woman who is a shifcha kenanis, and they have a child, the child is not called a Moavi. Even though the father is from the nation of Moav, on the birth certificate, it does not state that the child is from Moav, but instead the child is a kenani. It follows the yichus of the mother. Now, so it's a slave. It's a slave, an Eved Kenani. If that Eved Kenani is chayiv in mitzvahs ki'isha, like a woman, and if the master frees this slave,
but
then this.
Jewish. That's what I'm asking.
No, he becomes Jewish.
If not a Jewish slave owner frees a slave.
So it seems it does. It seems that in this instance it does. In this instance, okay, he has a good question. So you have to, I assume that what it means is that he'll make sure he becomes the ger. Okay, so instead of saying you free in the Kenani, let's look like that. He will work on this child to make sure, to convince him to become a ger.
But wait a minute. The daughters of his Jewish,
the children of his Jewish wife are Jewish. The children of his wife, no, because since...
Why?
Because since she is Jewish, and she is living with a Moavi, they will still be called Moavim. Lo yovei amoini u'moavi b'kal Hashem. You're asking very tough questions. You're confusing me with the facts. but we have to. I have full emuna in this chazal. You got to work out the details. You're right. These are very tough. You learn good mesechta kedushin. The end is coming up soon. The end of mesechta kedushin, asar yuchsin, is where all the answers to these questions are going to be found. At the end of that parak, in that parak, is Yishai is the Moavi. He's living with a Jew. He has a wife that's. Let's assume there's not a Moavi. So the question you're saying is that the children anyway are Jewish because of the mother. The mother is the mother. The yichus follows the mother. So they are his biological children. It would seem that in that case it doesn't work. That's not so. A Jewish woman is worse. It's worse. A Jewish woman that has a child from a Moavi, the child is still called a Moavi. And that child is not chayv in tayag mitzvahs and is not allowed to marry another Jew. That's what it would seem from this chazal. A goy is better off. It happens sometimes in these type of yichus dilemmas.
But from a regular boy, it is a Jew. So there's something special about the fact that
it's a Moavi. It's yeah, correct. Yes, that has to be the answer. That lo yovoi amoini umoyavi bikahal Hashem. A goy is better than a regular guy who lives with a Jewish woman. The child is Jewish. We know that. Yeah. That's halacha. But if the goy is a Moavi, it would seem that it's no good. It would seem that it's a big problem. That's what it would seem.
Why wasn't maybe his wife was also a?
I don't know. You're saying good. Okay, obviously, I don't know. There are a lot of details that have to be worked out. I don't know.
When it says lo yovoa, I mean lo avi, you can be a Jew, but you can't get married.
You can convert.
You could convert to Judaism.
Yeah.
Then you can't marry a Jewish girl.
You can't marry a Jewish girl. And if you marry a Jewish girl?
You can't.
Okay. So you're saying, that's answering Leo's question. Is that you're a ger. You're a Jew.
Could become a Jew.
Oh, okay. So he's a Jew.
You can't marry a Jew.
Yishai is a Jew, and he's married to a Jew. But because now they're both Jewish,
he's married.
So he's in violation.
What's the status of the seven kids then?
They're Moavim. They are Moavim. They're all considered at the end of the day Moavim.
Well, that's like a mitzri, right? You can't marry until the third generation.
No, but a Moav is forever. Ad Olam. It says by Moav forever. I don't know. You're asking Tom. I don't know the answer to these questions. I don't know.
Well,
I don't.
Freya, we gave that halacha. So it was in the time of Rus when Boaz took Rus. So that was when the question was being discussed initially. And so a lot of the rabbanim of the time, you know, were on the side of Boaz, who was the shofet.
Yeah.
Then they passed him. That became psak halacha.
By the time David, there were people who didn't accept it, but nevertheless, that's what it was.
It wasn't accepted by everyone until a later point in time.
And then it becomes retroactively anyhow, because it was that way. Mm-hmm.
So what did he do? He did this technique where he married a woman. He took for himself a woman who was a shifcha kananis. He lived with her. They had a child. Having a child, he will then free that child, and that child then becomes a ger. So now he has a progeny that is obligated to observe the Taryag mitzvos, that is his biological son. And also maybe he would raise him, you know, he would teach him, he would give over to him the Mesorah. So even though Yishai was afraid, I am not part of the Jewish people, he had such a love for Klal Yisrael, he wanted so much to have biological children that will be full-fledged members of the Jewish people. So how is he going to do that? So he separated from his wife, and he told his Shifcha Kananis that we will live together, and we will carry out this plan. The Shifcha Kananis was afraid, whatever her reasons were, and she revealed the secret to Yishai's wife, and they swapped, called a Temura. So when Yishai went to live with who he thought was the Shifcha Kananis, it was really Yishai's wife. So in his mind, he was living with a Shifcha Kananis, when in reality, it was his wife. This is called a Temura. When a person is in this situation, when he's living with a woman, and he doesn't even know who he's living with, it's called a Chet. This is called a Chet. This is not the way Jewish people behave. Jewish people know exactly what you're doing. There is clarity. This is what it means here. It's not an aver. You see, you can't call it an aver because what are you doing wrong? He didn't do anything wrong. It's his wife. He didn't do anything wrong. And Adrab Chazal say everything Yishai was. He died. He didn't commit an aver his entire life. But it was. It is. There is a lack of clarity, of knowing what you're doing 100%. Part of Judaism, living a disciplined, responsible, ethical, moral life, is to know what you're doing. You don't just live a life of efkeres. It's a very painful reality when you live in your life with no goals. It's one of the biggest problems today in chinuch. What are the goals? It used to be years ago, you go to elementary school and you have to study because your goal is you want to get into a particular high school, a good high school. And then when you're in high school, you study because your goal is to do well, to score high, to get into a college. And then when you're in college, you have to study to get into a graduate school. And then when you're in graduate school, you have to study so you get a good internship. And then you get experience to get a good job. And then there's a goal to get a promotion. And then to get another promotion, or maybe go to another company. And then to work your way up the ladder and become a partner. And then to work your way up the ladder, then to become some politician. And then to work your way up the ladder and to become the president of the United States. And then work up your ladder to do what?
To retire.
To retire. You have to have enough money. You have to work enough to have enough money to retire and to come and join the morning colo. So this is the spitz. Okay? There's goals. And Rahman is someone, there's no education, there's no high school, and there's no college, and then no one goes to get a job, and no one does anything. You have no goals. And when there are no goals, okay, halavai, enachrami. So that requires a lot of discipline. It requires discipline. It requires, okay, you're right, whatever it is. But you don't just do something. Oh, I wake up in the morning. What am I going to do today? What's the plan? I don't know. Go to shul. We'll go to the mikvah. We'll schmooze, have a cup of coffee. And then, I don't know, we'll see what we'll be. That's not a life. Everything you do is calculated. Is with a purpose, with a goal, with a mission. This was considered a chait, that Yishai is living with a woman, he doesn't even know what he's doing. That is called a ben temura. David is a product, of a conception that was done with a misunderstanding. And David says that has affected his DNA, that has affected his mind, his frame of mind. I'm living a life that I'm making mistakes. I'm making. What? No, he never thought he. Yaakov, he never had a ben tour by Yaakov. There's no such thing by Yaakov and Leah. Oh, you're saying the first night. Yeah, you're right. You're right. We actually discussed this. Reuven, you're saying very, very good. He's Mr. Real saying Reuven b'choyri ata. What does Rashi say? Reuven was born from the Tipa Rishona. Rashi, right? Rashi says, when was their Tipa Rishona? Leah. Right. And it says in the Pasuk, V'hinei Leah. That means in the morning, that means at night, he thought it was Rachel. So Reuven is the Ben Temura. Correct?
Right.
Reuven is the Ben Temura. David is the Ben Temura. And Reuven is a ben temura. David and Reuven have something in common, that the parents did not know what was going on when they were conceived. And that affects them. That according to Chazal said over and over, is the machshava of the parents at the time of conception has a significant impact upon the vlad, a whole life. Can you imagine the pachad? When parents are conceiving, can you imagine the pachad? Is that the machshava that the parents have at that time has ramifications forever? What the personality, what the child looks like, his whole outlook on life, all depends upon. I mean, it's a shocking thing. I think it's so shocking. People shouldn't even know this. It's not even good to even to know such a thing because it can make, because you think about it, it can make a person, people can be, go crazy. Like what? The ramifications of what's going to be for a person's whole life in their frame of mind, their outlook on life, their hashkafa.
By the Goyim, there's also such a concept.
Well, slightly saving. What do you mean?
That if you're born and loved, then
the child's are good.
Peaceful.
And if not otherwise, like they say, like they talk about like during the Holocaust, children that were born during the Holocaust. So there are different types of people. Now you'll say it's not because of the conception, you'll say it's because of, you know, the whole circumstance with how they grew up. All right, these are very deep concepts. David over here, this pasuk is saying just that. Hein bevon chololti uvechet yeche masni imi, my mother and my father, their frame of mind at the time of my conception was unusual. And that has an effect on my on me, and that is why I have behaved in such a way, and you have to add that to the calculation when you hold me accountable for the chait of Bashev. Let's finish the Mitzudos. Ki Amar Razal, Shadavid Haya Ben Temura. Oh, by the way, what was the end of the story? What was the end of the story? The end of the story was David. Then David's mother, Yishai's wife, became pregnant. Yishai says, "What? You're pregnant? How could you be pregnant? I wasn't with you for a very long time. How did you become pregnant?" There's only one way you became pregnant. You were mizane, and you are in Eishes Ish, and therefore Yichayev Misa. And the child is a mamzer. Who is that child? David. So Yishai assumed that David was, we spoke about this many times, David was a mamzer. All of the brothers were in on the story. They all believed he was a mamzer. That is why they sent him out to the front lines. They deliberately did things that he should get killed. He should die in the field, protecting the sheep in the most dangerous areas. Problem is, David never got killed. Instead, they sent out to the wolves. He comes home. Look what I got today. I got today a wolf. Look what I got today, a bear. Look what I got today, a tiger. Mm-hmm. Oh, excuse me, we sent you out to the forest so that the tiger should get you. The bear should get you, not the other way around. And David kept on surviving. Goliath, he went on a suicide mission. And he wins. It was Lomu Uman. And then when Shmuel shows up and he says, Yishai, I have good news to tell you. One of your children is the new Melech. Oh, which one? They lined them all up. The Bechor, one after the other. No, not him, not him, not him, not him. He goes through all seven sons. Yishai, maybe you have another child? None of these are... So, another child, the only other child I have is the Mamza. I got a Mamza out in the field. Bring him. Oh! This is the child. This is the one. And then it was revealed. How could this be the one? The secret was revealed that really it was not the Shifcha. It was Yishai's wife. And David is not a mamzer. The whole thing was revealed on that day. Can you imagine the shock on that day? That was the end of the story. But David was conceived in this state. And that's why David is called a Ben Temura. And as Mr. Marillis very fascinatingly pointed out, Reuven also has to have been a Ben Temura. Reuven b'choyri ata. Reish koichi v'reishis oini. Rashi koichi tipa rishayna. Tipa rishayna was when? Was v'hine hileya. Vihine, the unexpected, he did not know. That means Reuven, study his personality, study everything that Reuven did, and maybe now you can understand that Reuven was a very complicated person because there was a misunderstanding. Okay, so the two of the Ishai HaTanach, you ever get tested? If you're ever on Jeopardy and they ask you this question, the Ishai HaTanach, who are the two Ishai HaTanach? Reuven and David. And that's why I'm a complicated person. Very shocking. You would never expect to read this in a Mitzudos David. Never. This is something that even if you'd read this in the Mefarish, they would tell you in yeshiva, what are you reading these books of? What are you talking about? What are you talking about nonsense over here? It's a Mitzudos David. This is like the ABCs. Here in Tehillim, Imamah, she says it right out, and here they were kind to tell us the Makar. It's a Yalkoit HaMakiri, which our own homegrown expert on Medrash tells us is an esoteric Medrash that we don't come across too often. Uvechet yechemasne imi, kishenis chamama imi, kishenis abra, mimeni hoye bechet. Okay, vechafal hadavar b'milo yishoynes, poetic repetition. Okay, there's a lot more on this in Mishnah tomorrow. We'll take a short break, and then we're going to talk about something else. Take a short break.